Welcome to the RL Life Podcast, where we speak to top business and thought leaders from around the world. This episode is a replay of one of our live business insight sessions tackling the hottest and most pressing trends with leading industry experts. Be part of this conversation as it happens with RL Life. Visit rllife.com to learn more. Gain early access to various insight sessions and join over 8,000 leading business executives from top 500 companies in Europe to build meaningful professional relationships and hear from renowned experts all year long. Visit rllife.com to apply for membership today.
My name is Jeroen Baremans, and I'm happy to be your moderator of today because we are going to talk about a very interesting topic again. The topic, it might seem a little bit complex, at least from my end, because it's about quantum computing. Some people say quantum computing is a hype or was a hype or will be a hype or will be here to stay. And that's basically exactly what we're going to talk about. Will 2024, the year of the absolute breakthrough of quantum computing, and how will it affect the businesses and how can it be integrated well in your business? That's what we're going to talk about, because the overall question, of course, is, does quantum computing have a future? And if so, how can we as businesses leverage to its power today? As I said, we are going to talk with an absolute expert in the field, and let me read it out loud. He's the president at the One Quantum chapter of Chile. He is the multi-cloud solutions director at a big technology company. He is a senior executive with extensive experience in the global IT industry, worked in the Americas, in UK, in Europe and Asia, mainly focusing on strategy development and delivery for large cloud deployments, either in the public, private, or hybrid area. He also has a Master of Science in Quantum Computing at the Polytechnic University of Madrid. So I would say an absolute expert to really dive into this interesting topic. Please join us. But for now, please welcome Raúl Palacios. So Raúl, very happy to have you here in our virtual studio. I think there's quite a bit of distance in between us, right? Where are you?
Oh, thank you so much. Actually, I'm in Chile today. I'm in South America. So thank you for the invitation. It's kind of funny because I'm off into a different time zone and into a different time of the year. So right now it's the very south of the world and summertime. It's getting closer to noon. So it's fun to have this kind of conversation with people around the world. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I think you are enjoying a bit more better weather than I am enjoying here in Stockholm, right? Let's dive into the topic, Raúl. As I said, I'm really happy to have you here because we're going to talk about, at least from my end, quite a complex topic, quantum computing. Is it also in your daily practice that you feel that this is a really a complex topic?
I'm guessing that there are two sides of that question. From one side, there is this idea of the complexity of physics and the quantum sciences. On the other side is getting that into the complexity of the traditional technology world, if you want. These two sides, I'm guessing, like at this point, it's pretty much bridging two different complex areas together, what increases the perception of complexity. I'm guessing that there's always different ways to see these things. From one side, there is this magic of all these previous people that's been working on the sciences. You got Einstein, Bohr, Feynman, and all of these people, all of these brilliant people going around into the quantum science. So it may sound intimidating, but at the same time, there are a lot of works moving toward making this easier to more people to be digested. And actually, there are quite an interesting fault in making this easier from the school ages. There are a lot of working teams already getting this permeated into high school people. So it is not only nowadays all those physics PhDs, but a growing community. I mean, and I'm guessing that is the point where this is moving away from the labs and the academia and more into the real world. There's other interesting side that movies in particular create all this fascination of fantastic things that can be achieved. From one side, this may help on the enthusiasm. On the other side, these create this idea of something so vague and fantastic that it's only achievable on the science fiction movies.
Yeah.
There are different trends that people like us need to handle in order to make this too tangible to day-to-day people.
Yeah. Thanks for this, because it makes me, at least me personally, a bit more comfortable in getting into this conversation. And we're trying to make it as practical as possible by going forward, of course. But for now, just to kick off, and it might be that some people in our audience are already on a, let's say, a high level of knowledge, but others may be at a lower level of knowledge. So just to be sure, what are we talking about when we're talking about quantum computing?
Okay. So what are we talking about today specifically is using the quantum properties in order to achieve a very different way of computing things. So nowadays we use pretty much like electronics, which was already quite a revolution like 100 and something years ago. And these electronics are permeated everyday life, right? So most of our devices today, even in the house and everywhere, even in the clothes that we use today, they use these electronics principles, and they turn to be transformed into mathematical processes that may become a machinery that may help us to produce a different kind of results. That pretty much is computing. So you get a problem, you find a way to describe this kind of problem. We can go back into even into the oldest problems and how technology helped into that. Let's say, for instance, time tracking, right? Mm-hmm. So in history, time tracking, it's used to finding ways to understand where are you standing in the day, in the month, in the week, in the year, right? And we use very different devices for that.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we use electronics, and those electronics works into electronic circuitry, which pretty much is based on this idea of switching on and off. And then that turned into a whole binary world, all and off, ones and zero. And going that into the technology, we took that in order to create computing systems, something that may use logical principles on false and then create circuits of truth in order to make these kind of more complex calculations. That's pretty much like the computers we use today, the cloud, TV, and everything else.
That sounds
so. Now, instead of using that electronic, we use a very different physics approach, which is the quantum physics. Quantum physics is a little bit like 100 years old, so it's quite new in comparison to the traditional or the classical physics, and thus the differentiation between quantum computing and classical computing. And I'm guessing that kind of fairly new 100 years science, it still create this kind of anxiety in order to be understood and in order to be used. And this using of the technology is where we are today. So that's it.
Thank you very much for this, let's say, a very, very pressure cooker of what quantum computing actually is. Let's move on a little bit on the current state, the current landscape when it comes to quantum computing. You are experienced in the field. You talk to a lot of different companies, a lot of different people. What's the current landscape when it comes to quantum computing right now?
So this is what I see. The main expectation nowadays is just like, as long as the quantum science started to become quantum technology, and eventually pose a possible solution to different problems, or maybe those problems that today cannot be simply tackled with the current tools we have, then quantum computing and the quantum technologies started to become more and more in vogue, and eventually created this kind of idea of hype and excitement. Personally, I'm guessing there might be both. Sometimes there is a little bit of hype. Sometimes there is a little bit of extra cautious. I'm guessing that's pretty much how the technology develops. But in my understanding, nowadays we see like we have got the science and the technology in order to use a new tool that can help us achieve different results that we're using today.
Yeah.
And this is specifically true in the case of very complex problems. So nowadays, our society grows and we face every day more complex, let's say climatic change, economics, cybersecurity. So those complex problems that tend to be quite challenging for the tools we have now, aka our traditional classical computing, it may be feasible for a different tool, aka a quantum computer, to be tackled in a different way, and specifically in a shorter time frame, which make this something of concern.
Yeah.
And this is probably the most things that we hear today about quantum computing.
Yeah. Ed, you were saying, and I also mentioned it already in my introduction, some say it is a hype, it will be a hype. Well, in my introduction, I said, well, we do think that 2024 will be, let's say, the year of the breakthrough, the final breakthrough of quantum computing. The other day, I read an article which stated that, well, every year by the end of this December, people say next year will be the absolute breakthrough for quantum computing, and they will say it again in the following year. So every year there should be a breakthrough, but up till now there isn't. Would you consider this year, 2024, as the absolute breakthrough of quantum computing?
In my experience, there is no such thing as an absolute year, but what we can see, just checking the facts, is that there are several companies working on roadmaps for development of the technology. And during the last probably 8 years, they've been successfully delivering on those roadmaps.
Yeah.
So we can see that something going on. When we think about this absolute thing, we go back to this binary wall. It is or it is not. And then in my experience, just like there are many different alternatives in the middle of the way that make a tool useful at a certain level. Yeah. So this is what we see nowadays. And there's an image that always got my attention, because there's something about like we are in a situation quite similar to what happened at the beginning of the computing stages. There's probably something around like 7 to 8 years difference between what happened at the beginning of computing. And if you see what happened there, it is just like computers were mainly focused into solving very high, complex, and expensive problems. There were no tools for day-to-day users. Let's even say like for business for sake, right? So the adoption of computing for business happened something like 30 to even 40 years later, depending on the maturity and the location, of course. But nowadays, computing is everywhere. Mm. So why I'm telling this, for let's say, for instance, we got this image of people in the UK with the Manchester Baby, and now some other ladies with the IBM Q series.
Yeah.
Those first, they look very similar. Second, they represent the difference in time. Now you get two ladies over there. We get even more and more female participation into the IT world. But especially this is happening. If you consider how they were used in that time, they were most probably on the private sector and eventually in the space race, right? So there was no computers at home or computers at the office. And nowadays, it's so simple that everybody's expecting to have a quantum cell phone, probably a quantum smartphone, right? Yeah. That is not going to happen. So when you take this into an absolute mode, probably we're going to be disappointed, right? Because it's not going to happen like that in the next year or in the following. Yeah. But we see that the roadmaps are delivering as expected.
As I said in the introduction, we're trying to blend in as many questions as possible into our conversation. So perhaps the question of Will Harris, by the way, there are lots of questions coming in. So thank you for that. I hope we can answer them as many as possible as well in this show. But let's maybe related to what you were saying, the question from Will Harris is quantum computing more significant for us than the commoditization of compute capacity? More likely to lower costs for cloud computing, lower costs and energy consumption for localized AI requiring high levels of compute, such as autonomous vehicles. But for most of us, will it directly touches us? So you said, well, we won't have, a quantum mobile phone. But into what extent you see, for example, already some use cases where it is touching us already?
Let me get
yeah, there's a bit of an echo now.
There we go. I'm sorry. So let me see if I get the question right. I think there's a long way into the B2C realm of quantum technology yet, right? In terms of the consumers, in terms of having a quantum smartphone or a quantum laptop. But there are areas where this technology conundrum are going to be hitting us. Hmm. And I'm guessing those are where we start to get into the day-to-day business or in the way we know it today, right? So one of those areas, and let me simplify it for you. There are many different ways let me get that slide for you. There are many different areas where the current analysts are seeing where we can have any kind of value in the short of midterm. And these are especially in the areas of course, sciences and simulation, but also in finance and optimization and in cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. If we go into cybersecurity, that's everybody's business, right? Because nowadays, our day-to-day lives, like these conversations, are happening into an encrypted channel when you make transactions or purchases. All of them use the standard encryptions that are standard, right? And those standards may be threatened by the power of the quantum computing. That's something that we already know. Yeah. So the problem is not, but when. And that when it's been moving accelerated into a certain deadline. So the industry has set this idea of this quantum breakthrough near to the year 2030. That's when they expect they have a quantum computer powerful enough in order to produce results that can break the current encryption systems. It may be earlier, it may be not, but this is my take. These expectations are based on the estimations of the launching of the quantum of the Shor algorithm specifically, and the data I've seen a few months ago that there have been improvements into the approach of Shor on how to break or quicker make this prime factorization, which is the actual mathematical tool that is going to be used in order to produce and eventually break the encryption. Yeah. So when that happens, we're going to be in serious trouble, right? Every kind of transaction that happens on the internet, it may be exposed.
Yeah.
So in order to prevent that kind of scenario,
I think we have a freeze right now. I'm sorry for that. The connection is a bit bumpy at the moment. At least I can't hear you anymore. Let's see if it gets back again for a moment. If not, If you can hear me, Raoul, maybe you can turn out your camera for a moment. It might help to...
The best case, 5 years.
Yeah. I think we are a bit bumpy in our connection.
We're back.
We're back. I can see you now moving again, which is always good, Raoul. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Please.
I can't recall where... Go.
Yeah, can you pick it up again, or shall I?
Sure.
Yeah.
So what please. I'm telling is just like, if we jump into the nowadays IT projects and challenges, if we decide today that we'd like to update or enhance our IT security infrastructure, that's a project that can take easily 10 years.
Yeah.
In the best case scenario, maybe 5, let's be super optimistic. The industry expect this to take eventually 20 years. And actually, if we see like how the industry has been going into updating into the AIS encryption system, that's been taking like 30 years and they haven't completed year. So let's take one point of reference, 10 years that it took us to update our current infrastructure. Let's put aside quantum. So if we are thinking that we may have a tool that may endanger our cybersecurity within 10 years, then we're in trouble. And this is like a call to action today. So when we talk about quantum technologies, that's something that every corporation should be at least trying to engage and face like real soon. Otherwise, we're going to jump when the technology is already mature or when it's too late for a business.
Yeah. But that's at the same time, that's really a challenge, because what you're saying actually is that the scope is really a long-term scope. So it might still be abstract. It might still be, let's say, far away and maybe less prioritized than the things that are at our desk, let's say, by today or tomorrow. It also requires, at least, I think, a lot of, let's say, understanding of this topic. How would you consider to deal with that from a, let's say, business perspective, from a business leader's perspective?
That's a very good question, and this is my take on it. From all these alternatives where we can see there is a bigger or lesser impact in the longer or in the shorter term, there might take two main areas. One of them is cybersecurity. The other one, it may be optimization. And optimization is pretty much ubiquitous into many different businesses, right? So when we talk about cybersecurity, that's definitely a yes in terms of that's something that needs to be evaluated, at least evaluated nowadays, in terms of how long it take us currently. So and let's say, for instance, today in the IT business, ransomware, it's a $1 trillion business and is hitting everybody. Right? It's a very effective kind of attacks for the IT people. So we got certain vectors in order to reduce or mitigate the impact of a ransomware. And ransomware uses this kind of encryption techniques and data capture, right? So those are things that are happening today. And this is the reason, in my understanding, that evaluating better encryption system, better protection systems, that's something that needs to be evaluated today with the current standards of businesses. And what I've seen is that eventually gets a little bit harder to create a quantum case, because first you need to start explaining what quantum is, right?
Exactly.
That's the first milestone. And secondly, start to create the business impact. And especially in security, it's always difficult because some businesses are super focused into the short term. And that means they are focusing into how they're going to make the numbers by the end of the year instead of focusing on cybersecurity and protection, which may be like a 3 years plan, right? If they decided to make a year turn plan, it may not be exactly with their current business strategy, whatever that may be. So that's just like the standard day-to-day challenge. So I'm guessing that makes the quantum challenge slightly harder in turn to make it tangible for how to build this business case, how you justify what is going to be the impact if something may be broken. And it's kind of related to cybersecurity thing. The other area, it's optimization, and that may take longer time. So what I'm seeing today is just like most of the IT conversations and IT related, they are closer to be cybersecurity, which is IT day-to-day business.
Before we hear more insights from our esteemed guests, I'd like to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by the Aural Life Business Network, the exclusive community for Europe's leading CXOs. Exchange ideas with your peers, gain insights from top industry experts, and connect with executives who truly understand your unique challenges. Aural Life is where CXOs like you make valuable connections. Visit aurallife.com to learn more.
Yeah, but then from an organizational perspective as well, you say, well, it's the importance of understanding the concept of quantum computing is important in order to make sure that you make the right decisions now that will impact for, let's have an impact for the upcoming years. But from a, let's say, organizational perspective, suppose you are, let's say, the CEO of a company, what steps do you take in order to make sure that people understand and make sure that it will be, let's say, spread it along the different departments of the organization? Because security is not a single focused responsibility. It's a company-wide focused responsibility, of course. How do you make sure that this will happen in the end?
Let me see.
Because I can't.
What
I
can, is this? I, is what I've seen. Depending of the. Sorry, if there is any kind of connectivity delay. This is what I see. Companies usually tend to devise their strategic plans in a period between 3 to 5 years. That's the standard for the traditional businesses today. So we get a time frame challenge, right? That maybe the quantum evaluation may be longer in the time frame. But that's not only exclusive for quantum, but any other innovations or a disruptive technology, if you want. So what we see is just like depending of the maturity of the company, these companies are having, creating, or pushing with this idea of the innovation umbrella. So some people are more prone, some companies are more prone to the innovation, and they have teams working towards that. And these teams may have a longer time frame in order to work and evaluate and present the future concerns. So this is just like probably the main reference in terms of how to tackle the quantum computing and quantum technology challenge into our current IT conversations. If we're having a conversation that's going to be like 1 or 2, even 3 years, in the 3 years time frame, we just may start to see the quantum conversation moving forward. For those which have like a yearly plan, those businesses tend to be a little bit more reactive. They are not yet into the proactive mode of innovation because of budget or whatever other reason. So those are going to be probably the followers. Those which are more proactive and are willing and going into these longer businesses challenges, they have plans to evaluate technologies that may impact their business longer. And that's what we see. Probably those are the leaders of every single industry, right? And you can see some very famous banks, telco companies around the world, which are already working. So you may say, oh, I am not such a big business. And I don't have such those big budgets, so I cannot hire a bunch of PhDs in order to work and evaluate those technologies forward. And that's fine. And that's fine. So what we see is just like, depending of the maturity ladder they are staying today, they may face when they see like, okay, what are the trends for 5 years? They're going to face sooner than later the quantum technology challenge. And then it's just like we come back to what we're seeing today.
Yeah.
So that's it.
And maybe a bit related, because I can imagine that, like you said, in the innovation culture and in the innovation speed companies are in, basically, we are still in, let's say, the era of AI. So I can imagine that people are also, well, I'm just trying to get a grip on AI, and now I already have to move on to quantum. Before we going to deep dive a little bit into this, for example, there are a couple of questions coming in on the relationship, for example, from Olaf Schmidt. Thank you very much, Olaf. What's the relationship between AI and quantum computing? Another question from Mika, given this relationship, do we foresee any AI breakthroughs? So in general, what's your take on the relationship between AI and quantum?
That's a very interesting topic lately, because, you know, the AI had its ChatGPT moment, right? So suddenly, like 12 months ago, it was everywhere, and everybody's talking about how it goes. And if you see the ChatGPT behavior, there's a lot of consumer-related thing, right? So when it goes to consumer and it goes to the massive and it's going everywhere, that creates this moment of
There is a little hiccup again. Sorry for the inconvenience, but we're trying to get this conversation and this connection going. What, Raoul, we were talking about the relationship between AI and quantum, and Raoul started
there we go.
Off. Yes, are you there again?
1, 2, 3.
Yes, you're in.
There we go.
Please.
1, 2, 3.
Yes, you are. Can hear you loud and clear. You were stating that, let's say, more just a year ago, we were starting the ChatGPT era, and now we are already in the next stage. Are you still in, Raoul? No, it's still a freeze. So that's exactly what we're talking about, the relationship between AI and quantum. It's the matter of, are we talking about hypes or not? Are we still in the AI, let's say ChatGPT hype, and moving on to the next hype or not? Lots of questions from you are coming in on this particular topic, the relationship between AI and quantum computing. Lots of questions also coming in, for example, on the relationship with security and the possible breakthroughs in AI. Just let me...
There we go.
Are you in, Raoul? Just... shout, and I know you're there. So if not,
okay, camera.
Yes, I can hear you. Okay. I hear from our tech team here in the studio that Raoul is trying to get on the connection by phone now.
Can you hear me over there?
Yes, I can hear you with a little echo. But at least I can hear you. That's the good news.
Now it works.
And I think it should work now, Raoul. I can see you in a different view now. So let's wait. There is a delay, so I have to take a few seconds pause. Yes, I see you moving again, Raoul.
Okay, let me see if we can move on with audio portion.
Yeah.
Just to save some bandwidth.
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear now.
Okay. Oh, okay, that's better. So maybe that can help us to avoid any kind of bandwidth thing that may be happening.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Go ahead, Paul.
Let me go back. It's just like I got distracted. We were talking about the timelines. What I see is just like for businesses, in order to move forward, they are putting this into their innovation track that helps to face the disruptive technologies in a different time frame. And then we moved into the AI. So there is a certain traction lately with the AI, and there's a specific field in the matter, which is called quantum machine learning. So these are two different problems.
Yeah.
For instance, let's face together, like what we're seeing today is many companies see a challenge which is based on data. There is a lot of data-related technology challenges. We got a bunch of data, and then we need to figure out how to make sense of it. Mm-hmm. On the other side, there is a challenge related to computing. We got small data, mm-hmm. but the problem is quite complex. So the computing capacity, it may face challenges. So these are the areas where we currently see AI and quantum. Okay. And actually, if you just make a quick recall, you may see like just before AI, we saw a lot of data sciences and any other related things that were pretty much like capturing the headlines.
Yeah.
And probably many of those data scientists, they started to become AI-related sciences, right? So AI nowadays is quite oriented toward processing large volumes of data.
Yeah.
So, and if we add the complexity of understanding that data, then we have an increased value of using quantum with AI. What are the options that we see today? It's just like quantum may help face the crossroad between large volumes of data, and that's why we most of the ChatGPT moments are based on the large language modules, yeah. and there we get this idea of large data, large volumes, and you can mix the large volumes with the high complex.
Yeah.
In computing, those are two different areas, but now we see that there may be this connection where we can get value specifically from it,
yeah.
using the quantum algorithm or quantum-inspired algorithms to solve complex that need to process large volumes of data.
Yeah.
What we actually, the latest into the research are trying to reduce the amount of data required in order to produce better results from the AI perspective.
Yeah.
And this is also an area where quantum computing, at least the quantum computing way of thinking algorithms, may help us to improve technology.
Yeah. I would like to narrow it a bit more into what we can do, actually. One of the questions from the audience that just came in is, and you more or less touched already on some points, I think, but can you briefly, let's say, give two or three things to do? What can companies do to become ready for quantum computing? Can you briefly address one or two things that at least we can start by with tomorrow, for example?
I should say like that's something that they need to put in the radar for innovation.
Okay.
That's one. That's one. Probably getting companies a little bit of extra support in order to participate into conference. There is a lot of clever people making these statements and clarifying what can be done and what cannot be done. So getting more into these quantum events and fairs, and that will be also helpful. And last but not least, it's getting the external support. Some companies may not afford to hire PhDs, right? But they may afford to hire consultants in order to help them get on track. So those should be like the quick answers for that question.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Very concrete indeed to start off by tomorrow. Another questions that are some questions are coming in. People would like to hear, and I think you already doing that already, but like to hear your thoughts for the future. One of the questions that came in: what are the major technological milestones for quantum computing to start having a general impact, and where are we on those? So if I may, let's say, interpret that question, what are we going actually to, well, feel, hear? Are we already impacted on short notice by QC in, let's say, our daily lives or in our business lives? Are you still in, or are you thinking about the complexity of the question?
Can you hear me over there?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. In terms of milestones, nowadays it is used a lot, the quantum counting, I mean the qubits counting, right? They are counting how many qubits they create. I'm guessing that's the main, there are several indicators, of course, over there, but they are counting how many qubits. And that's fine for a specific technology approach. In my take, we should consider some other technology approaches. The quantum world is not only superconducting qubits. We got quantum annealing, we got photonics, and there are many different technologies that may be measured. They got different KPIs, right? So understanding those KPIs is important.
Yeah.
I should say the main milestone is just like achieving any kind of demonstrated success from the quantum perspective. Now, our current HPC may produce results, but if we see that at a certain point, quantum may promise an improve into the, let's say, performance, computing, energy consumption, whatever, that's something that is worth double checking.
Yeah. Yeah. Briefly, your answer on the next question, which is interesting, I think, by Eric Brouwer. Thank you very much, Eric. You talked already about costs, the costs needed to take the next step when it comes to QC. Eric guesses that this impediment will matter less for state actors. How do you view this issue concerning for organizations that may not be likely to be targeted by state actors? Do you see any in your field of expertise, in the talks you have on a daily basis, how do you see the difference between states and businesses? Is there any interrelated cooperation already? Briefly, by the way, Raoul, because for the sake of time, but...
Yeah, there is a slight correlation with the state financial support mainly. That's it, right? You get a state financial support in order to grow and develop. That's one thing. But on the other side, the entrance barriers are quite lowered if you think that you don't need to develop your own quantum computer, but you rather can consume that technology already available using cloud computing, right? So with any subscription, anyone can just use their credit card and start consuming and testing their quantum ideas right now. So there are a lot of alternatives.
Yeah. I would like to wrap up again with your take on the future. As I said previously in this conversation, I read the other day somewhere that by the end of every year, people say next year will be the breakthrough. Well, I think you explained us that it is very important for all of us to make sure that we are getting ready or are ready for the next stage of quantum computing. When we would be having the same talk, let's say, in the next year by January 25, what would be your take then? How would you look back on the on 24? What do you think? What will happen? What do we see in the upcoming year?
That's very difficult because that futurism, but let's try it a bit. What I see is just like we will continue to see that companies are delivering as expected for their roadmaps. So we've seen the last couple of months, that's what's already been done with IBM, IonQ, D-Wave, and many of the others. I cannot name them all. So companies, they've been delivering, and they are aggressively working to accelerate that path. So that's one thing. I'm guessing that is the main, probably, area where we can see in terms of the technology. The other area, it may happen, and I see in this during this kind of event, is just like there is a growing interest into a broader audience. So a few years ago, there was only the quantum fellows working into this kind of thing. There is a small community, but it's been growing very fast, that there's more IT and business people trying to learn further. And that's a call to action for the quantum people, right? That we need to smooth the language, translate what is required for our newer audiences. And that's a challenge, because I can say that in the next 12 months, we're going to see more non-quantum related people jumping into these things. So if you see some previous conversations, they're going to be super technical. They're talking about qubits and physics, and it's very hard to digest. And the more we get non-quantum people, the more we need to translate what's the value for them.
Yeah. And another question that just coming in, which companies are working heavily in this space? For example, the financial services. In other words, are there any sectors we should have a extra look at, we should keep an eye on, to watch as a, let's say, to be inspired from, or to see how they work with QC?
My take is financial, telco, retail. Those are facing the biggest challenges today. And probably if you make this survey, you're going to see like most of the private companies investing and researching, they're coming from that background. It probably the scientific realm may be more supported by the public sector usually. But that's what you see. And it's mainly related to the current technologies, right? Security, again, optimization from their processes, energy consumption. So that's it.
Yeah. So just to make sure that people who are listening to us right now, they are, I guess, inspired and informed by your insights. They go back to the office, let's say tomorrow. What should they say to their, let's say, fellow board members or colleagues at their office? Yesterday, I had a session on quantum computing, and this is what you need to know. What would be your key takeaway?
I'm guessing the main takeaways is there are call to actions today. We are seeing that there are continuous improvements in how we see better quantum processor units, yeah, or QPUs, if you want, right? That may be in the same track that you see the traditional CPUs and GPUs.
Yeah.
There is improvements in how we develop algorithms, how this technology integrate into existing system infrastructure. So that's a call to action for today.
Yeah.
There are lots of research papers already available on the web that can be business impactful.
Yeah.
So that's another call to action. And if you're interested into learning further, I just call you and invite you to contact people around. You can contact me or any other people who's already into this business, let's say into the IT business, into the science business, into the technology awareness business.
I think what we have learned today, Raoul, is that quantum computing is not a hype and is absolutely here to stay and will, as we said in an introduction, shift to the center of our focus. And I think it will be also a topic that will be discussed more and more and more because of, as you said, more and more people, not only directly related to quantum computing, will going to talk about it and will be interested in. So I would like to thank you very, very much for your insights and your inspiration and your outlook for the future, Raoul. Raoul Palacios, thank you very much.